This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We continue in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Masechta Chagiga, and we're up to Daf Chaf. The Gemara is discussing the following issue, which began on Yates Amud Beis. We know there's something called eating chulin b'taras hakodesh, which means there's some people who eat chulin b'tahara, which means they're careful not to be metame chulin, and they're careful to eat it b'tahara. However, there's a higher level. Those Rashi on the bottom Rashi and Yates Amud Beis explain, those people who frequently ate kodshim would accept upon themselves to eat chulin on the level of kodshim. They would treat their chulin as kodshim. And the shaila is when you eat chulin on the level of kodshim, is the chulin actually considered like kodshim? In that if a sheni betumah would touch it, it would become a shlishi, and it could actually render other kodshim or vi? Or do we say no? At the end of the day, it's not kachim, it's chulin. And therefore, it's either on the level of regular chulin or on the level of truma. So the Gemara made an attempt that we learned about last time, and now we're up to the sixth line on Chaf Amud Aleph. Elami Seifa. Rather, let's bring a proof from the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa of the Mishnah said, Yoisi ben Yoyezer hayachasid shebekuhuna. Yoisi ben Yoyezer was one of the pious members of the priesthood. And his napkin was an avatuma for kodshim, which means even though he was careful to eat truma as a davar kadosh, nevertheless, the level of guarding that he provided for truma was not sufficient for kodshim. Yochanan ben Gudgada ha'yochal al taras ha'kodesh, kol yamav. Yochanan ben Gudgada ate chulin al taras ha'kodesh. V'hoysam et pachtoi, and his napkin was midras, was tamei, lechatos, regarding handling the ashes of the paraduma. So listen carefully. This, we're not talking about somebody who ate kachim, we're talking about somebody who ate al taras ha'kodesh. And we say that his cloth was considered tamei legabe handling the paraduma. Says Gemara, let's be medayik. Lechatos in, only regarding handling the paraduma. Lekoidesh loy, but not regarding handling kodshim. That means his level of guarding, his chulin b'taras hakoidesh, rendered him holy enough and pure enough to be able to handle real kodshim. So from here we see Alma Kosavar, from here we see he holds chulin shenasa taras hakoidesh. That chulin, which is made and guarded with the purity of kachim kakadosh tami, it's like kachim, because we say explicitly that Yoichanan ben Gudgada, who ate al taras hakodesh, he was only tamei legabe the higher level of paraduma, but not legabe kachim. Why not? Isn't kachim a higher level than eating chulin al taras hakodesh? It must be no. Eating chulin al taras hakodesh is exactly like kachim. So now we begin a sort of a new sugya, and this is a sugya of guarding tahara. Now regarding guarding kalim, that they should be tahar, we're going to learn that if there is a hesach hadas, if somebody's mind is diverted or deviates from focusing on the item, it will no longer be tahar. Amar of Yonasa ben Elazar, nafla ma'afarto himenu. If your shawl falls down from you, Amar lechaver, and you say to your friend, Tanali, give it to me. You with me? Who is that?
Oh, is this me? Oh, am I on?
Hi, Sroli.
Hi. I think I dialed the wrong number before. I was on like hold for like 10 minutes.
Sorry. Okay. So Amar of Yonasa ben Elazar, nafla ma'afarto himenu. Oh, I just got your text. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yonasa ben Elazar. Nafla ma, we're about 12 lines from the top. We're learning now a new topic. We're just starting a new topic now, and it's about that if you're guarding your kalim, that they should remain tahar. If you have a hesach hadas, they will then become tame. Amar Rabbi Yonasa ben Elazar. Nafla ma'afarto himenu. If your shawl falls off of you, Amar lachaver, and you say to your friend, Tinali, give it to me. Vinasnolai, and your friend gives it to you. Tamei, it's tamei. And there's a question, why would that be? Aren't you watching it the whole time? It just fell from you, and it's now in your friend's reach. But if it falls from you, and you say to your friend, please hand it to me, and he hands it to you, it's now tamei. There has been a lapse in your guarding of the item, and therefore it's rendered tamei. Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram. If your weekday Shabbos clothing get mixed up with your weekday clothing, meaning you wanted to take out of your closet on Tuesday your Tuesday clothing, and instead you took out your Shabbos clothing. You thought you were taking out weekday clothing, and it turned out you took out Shabbos clothing. The lavshan, and you put on your Shabbos clothing, nitma'u, their tamei. Now, why would they be tummy? You're watching it the whole time. From here, it seems that if you don't have a clear awareness of what it is you're wearing and guarding, it would be tummy.
Tummy for Shabbos? This means that the clothing is tummy for Shabbos?
What does this mean? It means that... what is a tummy for? So that's a good question. It doesn't say what it's tummy for. What exactly is this tamei for? So Stephen wants to know, what does the Gemara mean that it's tamei regarding what is it tamei for? So, it's tamei. We have to see, because the Gemara does not offer any explanation regarding what it is it's tamei for. It's just tamei. In other words, for anything that you need tahara, you knew for sure it was tahar. And you thought it was Shabbos clothing, and it turned out to be... excuse me, you thought it was weekday clothing, and it turned out to be Shabbos clothing. It's tamei. In other words, if until then it was tahar, now it's tamei. So if you can't allow it to come into contact with tahara. If it does, it would render it tamei. Whatever a tamei beged... renders tamei, this is would be considered tamei because you had a lapse in your focus. Maybe we'll see further.
Maybe stam yadayim are tameis because there's hasek hada. So it's more of a dirabonan tuma.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Let's see. I don't know. Right now, the Gemara just says the word tamei, and I don't have any explanation. So I'm not sure regarding what it's tamei. Because a kli typically could become a rishain betuma, but cannot become a sheni betuma. Only food could become a sheni betuma. So I guess it would have the status of a rishain, and it could be metame food, I guess. But let's see. So... nitmu, they're considered tamei. Amar Rav Elazar bar Tzadik. Rav Elazar bar Tzadik said a story. Ma'isa b'shtei nashim. There's a story about two ladies. Chaveirois. Now, when we say chaveirois, it doesn't mean they're friends. It means they have a din of a chaver. It means they typically guard their items like a chaver, that they should always be tahar. And basically, they went to the mikvah, and in the changing room, they changed their garments. In other words, Rachel took Leah's garments, and Leah took Rachel's. That their garments got exchanged in the bathhouse. Uba Maisel of Rabbi Kiva, and the story came before Rabbi Kiva, v'timan, and Rabbi Kiva said their tameh, even though the respective women did not stop guarding the particular garments that they were involved in, but since they had originally thought it was their garment, and then they found out that it's someone else's, so since there was a lack of awareness of what they were guarding, it's considered tamei. Rashi Nitma'u says, Kasaka Daitach, the Gemara's Havamina is Hashta, the Svirulei, if you're guarding something, assuming it's A, and it turns out to be, that's not guarded. So the Gemara basically said three cases. If your shawl falls down, and you tell your friend to pick it up, and he picks it up, it's tamei. Number two, Your Shabbos kelim got mixed with your weekday kelim. You thought you were taking weekday kelim, and you turned out to take Shabbos kelim. And number three, two women that exchanged your clothing in the bathhouse, all these three cases are tamei. Frek the Gemara, Maskefla, Rabbi Shia. Rabbi Shia asked the following question, Elamayata, Hoyshit Yadoy Lasal. If let's say you stick your hand into a basket, Lito paschitin to take wheat bread. But also be other pasoir and you take barley bread, hachanami dinitma. Are you gonna say it becomes tame? Just because you don't know, you don't have an awareness of what kind of bread you're taking? So the question here is, Rabbi Oshia made up a case and he said, are you gonna say it's tame? What do you mean are you gonna say? Yeah, based on what we just said, that if women change their clothing in the mikvah, or if you thought it was the weekday clothing and it turned out to be Shabbos, we just said, yeah, it's Tameh. So the Gemara says, V'chitema achinamin, if you're going to say Taka, if you stuck your hand in a basket to take one kind of bread and you take another, so that's not considered guarded and it would be Tameh. V'hatani, we learned in a Braisa, ha-meshamer es ha-chavis. If you're guarding a barrel, v'cheska shel yayin, thinking it's wine, v'nimsa shel shemen, and it turns out it's oil, tahira melatameh. It's tar from becoming tameh. So we have a beferish braisa that if you're guarding one thing, thinking it's something else, it's not tameh. So Rabbi Kivager asks, why would Rabbi Oshia invent a case which is identical to the previous cases and say, well, according to you, this case is also going to become tameh? If anyway he has to rely on a braisa that says explicitly that it's tahar, why would he invent a case and presume that you're tahar when he could just cite the braisa straight up? But anyway, this is the kasha Rabbi Oshia, that we see explicitly if you're guarding a barrel, assuming it's wine and it turns out to be oil, it's tahar. This is not like the latter two cases of Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram and Rabbi Lazar bar Tzadok, where in those respective cases, if you didn't have an awareness of what you're guarding, it's tame. So we ask back, ulatameh, and according to you, Rabbi Oshia, ema seifa, let us say the seifa, because the braisa that Rabbi Oshia quoted said, if you're guarding a barrel, assuming it's wine and it turns out to be oil, it's tahar. But let's go to the seifa. It says, va'asura milechal. It says you're not allowed to eat it. Well, according to you, Rabbi Oshia, that a lack of awareness of what you're guarding is not a reason to render it tameh, then why would it say in the seifa that you're not allowed to eat it? Meaning, according to Rabbi Oshia, as long as you're guarding it, even if you don't know exactly what it is, it should be tar. So why does the seifa say you're not allowed to eat it? So here the Gemara says a whopper of a chiddush, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya said, you know what this case is? Shamartia midavar hametama v'lo midavar hapoisla. It's tahar. The guy says, I'm guarding it from something that renders it tamei, but not from something that passels it. Meaning, the Gemara says, see Rashi. Rashi says, "Avon b'masha meshamra himenu have a shmira so shmira the afal pisha eno izeh." That means the guy is saying he's doing a partial shmira. He's guarding it from something that renders it tame. We've said earlier there's a difference between tuma and psula. Tumah means it's tameh, that it could be metameh something else. So he is guarding it from it becoming tameh, that it should render something else tameh. But, v'loi midavar ha-posel, but he's not guarding it from something that renders it posel. So what would this be referring to? What this refers to is as follows. Where basically he's doing a half a job. What kind of a half a job? Typically, tumah is when something could become tame that it could pass on the tumah to something else. Pasul means it becomes tame, but it can't be transferred. So we're discussing a guy who says he guarded the liquid in the barrel from it becoming tamei, that it could transfer to other chulin. What would this mean? Meaning he protected it. He protected the liquid from an avha tuma touching it. If an avha tuma touches it, it would become a reshine, and then it would be able to be metame other liquid to be a sheni. So that he guarded, but he didn't protect it from touching a reshine. Meaning it could become a sheni, but that sheni would not be metame anything else. So the reason why it means it's tahira milatame. It's tahar from rendering anything else tamei, because he guarded it from a avhatuma touching it. So therefore, the most it could become is a sheni. But he can't eat it because maybe a rishain touched it. So that's what Amar of Yirmiya, but Amar Shemarti Amidavar Amitama, I guarded it from something being metamei it, v'loi midavar apoysel, but not something from disqualifying it. Says Gemara, mi iku netirusa lapalga? Is it possible for a person to provide a halfway shmira? So Gemara says, yes, it is possible. V'hatanya, because we learned in a braisa, hoishit yadai basal, if you stuck your hand in a basket, v'hasal al kseifai, and the basket's on your shoulder, v'hamagreifa b'tai chasal, and there's a fork in the basket, v'haya b'liboy al asal, and in your heart you were guarding the basket, v'loi haya b'liboy al hamagreifa, but you were not guarding the fork. So basically in the basket, you have a basket, you have figs, and you have a fork in the basket. So you had in mind to guard the basket, but you didn't have in mind to guard the fork. So hasal tahar, the basket is tar, v'hamagrefa tmeya, and the fork is tamei. So that's very clear, because you had in mind to guard the basket, but not to guard the fork. Says the Gemara, hasal tahar, so frek the Gemara, hasal tahar, the basket is tahar, t'tamei hamagrefa l'sal. Why doesn't the fork contaminate the basket? Because once the magrefa is tamei, why doesn't the magrefa, the fork, contaminate the sal? So Gemara says, what kind of kasha is that? Ein kli metame kli. One kli cannot be metame, because the most the kli could be is a reshine. And if it is a reshine, it cannot, right? A kli cannot be an avatuma, but a kli could be a reshine metuma. And a reshine metuma could only be metame another kli, food to be a sheni, but not a kli. So ein kli metame kli. One kli cannot be metame another kli.
Aren't the figs another food?
Oh, very good. So Stephen's asking Gavaldik. So the Gemara says, "Filatame masha basal." Stephen's kasha. So why don't we say that the fork, which is a reshine, is matame the figs? All right, good kasha. Very nice. The fork cannot be matame the basket, but the fork should be matame the figs. Gavaldik. Amaravina, no, you know why the fork is not metame the figs? Because he's guarding the fork, that the fork should not become a reshine. He's guarding the fork, that the fork should not touch an avatuma and become a reshine. I'm guarding the fork that it should not become tame and become a reshine to be able to be metame the figs. But he's not guarding the fork, that the fork doesn't become puzzle, v'loy midavar ha-poisloy, but not something that puzzles it. So the question is, what does that mean, not something that puzzles it? That means he's guarding the fork that the fork shouldn't become a rishon, but he's not guarding the fork that the fork shouldn't become a sheni. A fork can't become a sheni. A fork is a kli. Right? Look in Tosfos. The second Tosfos asks, what does the Gemara mean? He's guarding the fork that the fork shouldn't become a rishon. That means he doesn't want an avatuma to touch the fork. Fine, but he's not guarding the fork that the fork shouldn't become a sheni. A fork can't become a sheni. Tosfos asks, v'hayokasha l'harav Rabbi Chanan, b'may yifsala hach magrefa, how could the fork become pasal? Iba rishon, if a rishon touches it, oy b'sheni ain't adam v'kelim mekablam tuma elamei avatuma v'ibi avatuma. If an avatuma touches it, have a High puzzle tummy ave. It's going to become tummy. And then it will make the figs tummy. Oh, what do you want to say? Who is that? Who's this nice ingala? You want to say something? The tirei, it's Toysus.
Yeah, go on. Sorry. Yeah.
Perfect. Toysus answers. The tirei's shenifsula b'mashkin. It could become pasul with a liquid because a mashkin, which is a sheni, or a rishon, excuse me, a liquid, which is tamei, could render a kli a sheni. That's a chiddush. A liquid, which is could render a kli a sheni. Okay, so that's the scenario. So this proves, friends, that there's a halfway guarding. You could guard something from making sure it doesn't become tamei, but not guard it that it doesn't become pasul. Bottom line is...
Why is it a pasul if they could be metame kachim?
In other words, the...
Meaning it's a pasul for chulin, but it's not a pasul for kachim.
I mean, we're saying that he's guarding it, that an avatuma doesn't touch it, and it become a reshine to guard. I mean, he's guarding it again. Shamarta midavar shematamai. He's making sure an avatuma doesn't touch it, so that it becomes a reshine, and then it will pass the figs. But he is not guarding it that it doesn't become a sheni. So you're saying that's why is that called pasul? Oh, you're right. Because correct, you're exactly on the right.
For
correct, right. But now the Gemara says mikol makom kasha. It's still difficult because we see from here that what was the original case? The case was Rabbi Yoshia asked, you stuck your hand into a barrel. Excuse me, if you're guarding a barrel of wine and it comes out to be oil, it's tahar. So we see that even if you don't have an awareness of what something is, that's a good shmira. So that's a kasha on case 2 and case 3 said earlier. Because case 2 was if you thought you were taking out weekday garments and you took out Shabbos garments, your Shabbos garments are tameh. And if women change their garments in the mikvah, they're tamei. But we see from this brisa that if you don't have a clear awareness of what the item is, it's tahar. Mikol makom kasha. V'oid moisef Rabba bar Avua. Rabba bar Avua asked furthermore. Maisa, a story. This is a good bedtime story. V'isha achas, about one woman, Shabbos lefnei Rabbi Shmuel, that came before Rabbi Shmuel, v'amra loy, and she said to him, Rabbi, beged ze aragtiv b'tahara. She said to him, Rebbe, I wove this garment in purity. Meaning, nothing was metameh yet. But you should know, v'lohe b'libi l'shamra b'tahara. I didn't pay attention to guard it. Meaning, Rashi explains, the woman says, I know from the time it was 3 fingers by 3 fingers, which is the shear that something is right to be mekabel tuma, I know no tuma touched it, but you should know I wasn't really focused. In other words, I'm telling you the facts are it's tahar, even though I didn't really guard it. So, this is what the woman told Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel cross-examined her, and we talk b'diko shay Rabbi Shmuel boidka, and from the cross-examination that Rabbi Shmuel checked her, Amra Loi, she said to him, Rabbi, Nida mashcha imi bechevel. You should know, Rebbe, that this jogged my memory. A nida pulled the rope with me and was metame the string. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, kama gedoylem divrei chachamim. How great are the words of the sages? Shahayu Aimrim, the sages said, Beliboy l'shamrei tahar. If you pay attention to guard it, it's tahar. Ain b'libay l'shamrei tamei. But if you don't pay attention to guard it, it's tamei. Because this woman claims that it was tahar. But then when I cross-examined her, she said, well, actually, since, you know, the woman said it was tahar, even though she didn't guard it, and it turned out it became tameh. So we see how great the words of the sages are, that if you don't actively guard it, there's a chance that that lapse will bring to tumah. Now, this is a kasha on all the above-mentioned cases. How's that? Because this demonstrates that the only reason why you have to guard it is because if you don't guard it and you're not focused, something may have happened. But in all the above-mentioned cases, those are scenarios where they were guarding it. It's just they didn't know what the item was. So in such a case, there shouldn't be a problem. Meaning this braisa is mashma, that the problem of a lapse is only that during the course of the lapse, something might have actually happened. But if there is no lapse, you just don't know, is it wheat or barley, or you thought it was Shabbos clothing and turned to weekday clothing and you're guarding it the whole time, that should be tahar. Shuv maisa, the Gemara cites another maisa, which is a problem. Shuv maisa achas shaba sanei Rabbi Shmuel. There's another story that a woman came before Rabbi Shmuel. Amar lo, she said to him, Rabbi, mapazu aragtia batara, this cloth I wove in purity. V'loi haya b'libi l'shomra. Even though I'm telling you it's tahar, I wasn't really guarding it that it should be tahar. U'mitach b'dika ishoi Rabbi Shmuel b'ika, and through Rabbi Shmuel's cross-examination, Amra Loi, she said to him, you know what, Rebbe, Nima Nifsikali, one of the strings snapped while I was weaving it, V'kashartia b'peh, and I tied it with my mouth. And here's the thing, there's a concern that some of the spittle of this woman, who was Anida, remained on it even when the beged was 3 fingers by 3 fingers, and the spittle of Anida is metame. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Kama Gedoylem Divrei Chachamim, how great are the words of the sages, Shahayu Aimrim, who would say, Beliboy L'Shayim Raitar, if you had a mind to guard it, it's tahar, Ein Beliboy L'Shayim Raitamei. But if you don't have in mind to guard it, you're tame. Now the Gemara says like this, Bishlama. Remember, we started off by giving 3 cases. If your shawl falls down and you tell your friend to give it to you, it's tameh. Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram said a case, if your Shabbos clothing got mixed with your weekday clothing, it's tameh. Rabbi Lazar bat Tzadik brought the case of the 2 women in the bathhouse who changed their garments, and he says it's tameh. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al Rabbi Lazar bat Tzadik, kal achas vi achas oimeres chavei rasi, Eishas Amaretz. You know why in that 3rd case there's tumah? Even though I'm wearing the garment the whole time, and you're wearing your garment the whole time, and we're both focused on the other person's respective garments, so there's no lapse. But since when they find out that it's not their garment, each one says, "Chavei Rasi, my friend over here on the other side of the mikvah." Eishes Ama Oretz is the wife of an Ama Oretz. So they give up hope about the other garment. They figure that their other garment will not be watched. And they figure the garment they're wearing is not clean, and therefore they don't watch it. Meaning, since they think the other woman is an Ama Oretz, or married to Ama Oretz, they think the garment they're wearing is not clean, and they don't focus on guarding it. Umas chadaitimina, and they actually divert their attention. So, Taka, we thought in the Havamina that look, I'm wearing your garment the whole time, you're wearing my garment, and I'm guarding yours and you're guarding mine. But the point here is, since I think you're an Ama Oretz, so therefore I figure the garment I'm wearing is Tameh, so I give up hope from guarding it, and there's a real lapse of attention. So again, the Gemara feels that there's only a reason to be Metameh when there's a real lapse of attention. And the Gemara says there is. And then now the Gemara talks about the case where I thought I was putting on weekday garment and I turned out to put on Shabbos garment. So the Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram Nami Kivan de Kelam de Shabbos Avid Lahu Shimer Tvei. Since I guard my Shabbos clothing more, Now, I thought originally I'm putting on my weekday clothing, so I'm guarding it a little less. So that level of less guarding will render it tameh. So meisiach daite minayhu. So there is a degree of hesach hadas, because I think it's a weekday garment, so I'm going to watch it ever so less. But in the first case,
once you're so full that you're not watching it as well as maybe you should have been, all of a sudden, then it's able to be tuma.
So actually we haven't, the first case where your shawl fell? You're talking about the first case where the shawl... So the Gemara is going to ask on that now. But what about the first case? If your shawl fell, but I'm eyeing it the whole time, why should it be tameh? I don't divert my attention from it. Elul Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, the first case where your shawl fell, Navid lehu shimer biyadei dechavrei. Why can't you be watching it in the hand of your friend? So the Gemara says we have to say that there's a phenomenon. There must be a presumption that a person does not guard what's in his friend's hand. It must be like, once it's in your possession, there's a chazaka that I don't guard it that much. So, and the Gemara... Gevaldik. Why don't we use this klal by the two women? So, the Merkeves HaMishnah...
It has nothing to do with the Am Ha'aretz anymore, right? It's not Am Ha'aretz, the fact that it's somebody else's...
So the Achronim say... Very good, excellent. The Achronim say that... So, like, what Ravasi is saying and what Stephen is saying, that once we have this, we don't have to say the previous two cases... At least not the previous two cases, but the case of the two women in the bathhouse, we don't have to say it's because I think your husband is an Am Ha'aretz, so therefore my garment is tameh. You could say because I'm not guarding what's in, meaning I'm not watching what's in your possession and you're not watching what's in my possession. But I don't understand, okay. But I'm guarding what's in my possession. Why don't we say I'm guarding what's in my possession, you're guarding what's in your possession? So maybe you do have to. I hear. I thought the Achronim say what you're saying, but I'm not sure I understand how it applies. Because granted, I'm not watching what's in your possession, but I'm watching. I have your garment, and I'm watching that garment, and you have my garment, and you're watching my garment. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we got through this Amud, and tomorrow we're going to finish the Parak, Chaf Amud Beis, and begin the new Parak. Okay? Okay, thank you everyone. Shkoyach, have a good night. Stay safe.
Shkoyach. Thank
okay.
you, Rabbi.
Kol Tov, thanks a lot. Kol Tov. All the best. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.